point, I don't know what's happened yet this morning. I talked to Pat, maybe four or five times since he was up there last. He said that his policy had been one to cooperate all the way with the committee up to this point. He's turned over for the record everything that was requested, including the things that hit the paper this morning, which I think he should have deferred on. Kleindienst told me that he isn't touching base with him, despite his efforts to get him to touch base on timing on when he turns things over. Well, his theory was to cooperate right down the line to this point. Today, when he goes up, draw the line. He'll talk about, you know, he's going to infringe upon the rights of individuals. He's going to open sensitive files that have not been groomed for public consumption, if they're going to be put in the public forum, and they'll harm innocent people. And to really close the store down today, that's what he's supposed to do. Now, he was reminded when... And mention it to me. He said, I know my nomination will be withdrawn.
What?
Gray said to me when I talked to him on, I guess this was on Friday, he said, John, I said, I appreciate the fact that my nomination could be withdrawn at any point in time if you all see what I'm doing is improper.
So that I think. That's right.
Kleindienst talked to Eastland this morning. I asked him to do that. Eastman says he sees things going well right now, that they have the votes, that Hart and Bai and Kennedy and Tunney have indicated they don't plan to prolong the hearings, particularly until the Irvin hearings are completed or something like that on the Watergate, to hold up Gray. Now, Irvin gave an interview this morning with WTOP, a local station out here, saying that he would support the request of Tunney that I appear before they proceed with Gray. And he didn't say he would hang in there all the way, but he used the analogy of Flanagan was the hostage of Urban's executive privilege principle for the Kleindienst hearings, and was intimating that Dean might be the hostage for Gray. But of course, the things they're raising about Dean are totally irrelevant to Pat Gray. Totally
around. I've already answered that, though.
Oh, just put it to sleep.
We're not going to give an inch on that. We're not going to mention we've got this stuff. What are you going to put out of the statement?
Well, it's good in a way things sometimes get held up another day. I'll tell you what occurred to me last night, and I just mentioned it to Ehrlichman.
Use it only when you want.
That's right. But one thing we've conspicuously absent from that statement that it just occurred to me is we have never treated the subject of former White House staff who have departed, who still enjoy the privilege for those times when they were here. And I think I have a good memorandum from the Office of Legal Counsel on that point, and I think we ought to add possibly one more paragraph to deal with that situation that takes care of the Chapins, the Colsons, the Strawns.
Right. Who are these people, incidentally? I was thinking that the idea is given basically a memorandum. The FBI's memorandum never works smart or precision.
I know exactly who it is.
Oh, sir.
It was a girl by the name of Penny Gleason, who is the daughter of this fellow Gleason out here in Montgomery County, who is some sort of Republican honcho out there in the county government. He was the county supervisor, something like that.
So what happened?
Well,
she worked for?
She worked for McCord.
She wanted to talk.
She wanted to talk. She didn't know anything, but she wanted to talk, and it was hearsay. Her statements were her own impressions. She gave.
Why didn't that get out then? Why didn't Gray have that in the statement?
Well, because it's one of these damn raw FBI statements.
I know.
These agents will write it up.
Why else would they build a big story on it? Well, it makes you wonder whether we were right in sending Gray down.
It gives pause, but I think we're right in the long run, and I think today will be the test. The way he performs up there today, and if there's continued, abandoned for everybody else, except for Pat Gray, then I think we really have to reassess.
Well, he's got to determine whether he's going to play one of us. We don't give a goddamn whether he's a director of the FBI. There's plenty of men that can be the director of the FBI if they're going to play one politically.
That's right.
You know? But Gray has got to, we're not even asking to be political. We're just asking to give us a fair break.
But he's not. Just hold the door. Is all we're asking.
Paul should not get up there, you know, and just say, well, I've got to be confirmed at the expense of everybody here. Oh, no. That can't be done.
Well, I made it, without getting terribly specific, I said, Pat, I said, I've got to be very candid with you. There's a certain degree of disappointment in the way you've performed thus far over here, and I think you can understand why. He said, John, I know, but let me tell you what the strategy's been all along. And that was up until today, when now I don't respond with any
going forward now. I'm trying to get Kendall to scare the loach.
Yes, that's been in the works, as well as the report you asked me for on some of the past activities. I had another long session with Sullivan and told him to go home on his own typewriter. And I said, this is for my use only and no one else's, because I'm going to treat Sullivan at arm's length. I'm not sure about him yet.
Right.
And I said, I want to know everything you know that's been done to that bureau in the whole time you were there. And he said, well, I got some humdingers. And he gave me a couple more. He said, for example, when John Chancellor was having a full field done for USIA, he said some very bad drug came up in his full field. Linda Johnson got a hold of that and said, I want that file changed. Sent it back. And it was just an impossible task for them to try to change it, but yet they did it. But he has countless examples of this sort of thing. And we'll have
that. I want that report. Well, I guess there's nothing.
Well, there is a
chance to have these. You can sort of get an idea as to what the whole water is going to be. There'll be this wheeling and screaming around. But I think now, with regard to our position of White House of Irvin's, do you know whether or not Irvin and Baker have yet talked to Kleine?
They have not. I suggested to Kleine, again, this was yesterday, I suggested, I said, Dick, it seems to me you've got to monitor when it becomes appropriate for you to return the call, although the ball is in their court, to get the channel open. And he said, John, I will.
Well, the one I'm concerned about is not Irvin. We expect him to be partisan. I'm concerned about Baker. Where the hell is he going to be?
Well,
Baker,
he's been making public pronouncements to the effect that, well, there was one in the Chicago Trib yesterday. It said bugging inquiry will be pursued to the top. Things like that.
You understand that? He may just want to reach out to credibility.
I think the most important thing for our hands hearings are, one, any witnesses that go up are well prepared. You know, I got, you know, rereading your speech on the Hiss case again showed how effective investigators can be if one witness doesn't know what the other witness is saying, or there's a dichotomy between witnesses. And that's one thing they can't, you know, whatever they say over there, they've got to hum the same tune, and they're ready to do it. They've done it thus far. Otherwise, they just create problems that are not necessary.
Yeah. Well, apparently, I can't do much with Baker. I think with Irvin, I think you're going to feel a little bit that you're going to find that they're going to, first, you're going to make a big run at executive privilege, and the point we have to do is to hammer home the fact that we will furnish information. That's not the issue. The issue is the formal appearances of work committees, and that we will not get out.
Actually, the form we're in couldn't be better. The Gray hearings, I guess, is just an excellent place for, particularly myself, the counsel, who has a sort of a double privilege, in a sense. The attorney-client relation that always lurks back there. How it would be contrary to the ethics of our profession to...
Okay.
To,
Well, you notice the way I kicked the little bitch in the ass. I said, don't give an inch.
Your answer was, the tone of your answer particularly was great. Like, how could you even ask this question? It was so absurd.
Of course.
And then Mollenhoff blustering in with this hypothetical, and I've been dealing with Clark on this... Fitzgerald case, and I said, Clark, I said, for Christ's sake, don't make me your hypotheticals, or don't make any individual your hypotheticals.
Well, understand, I just wondered, I don't think I'm very smart enough. I'm just not sure. I believe it's...
Well, we'll have to test.
He's a decent man, but I good cross examiner has got to know more about the customer.